Praise God. Well, good morning, Christ Central. If we haven't met, my name is Huey, and I get to serve as one of the pastors here. If you are visiting us for the first time, or if this is your first time in a long time, welcome. I'm so glad you're spending your Sunday morning with us this morning. And as we saw in the video, I am happy to report to you that Pastor Owen and Elder Peter and John Suh are back safely from their vision trip to Southeast Asia. We just got only a preview of their time in Cambodia and Thailand and the Philippines, visiting and encouraging the missionaries and the pastors and the local churches there. And church family, just thank you for remembering to pray for their safety, for their experience. They are back to us safely. And I'm sure that video probably does no justice to what they've experienced. So on the last Sunday of March, they're going to give us a more of a fuller picture of what they saw, what they've learned, and the things that God may have put on their hearts. So I hope you will remember the last Sunday of March and plan to join us for that. And during Missions Month, we also got to see glimpses into the day in the life of our supported missionaries who are serving in Cambodia and Japan in particular. We got to see not only what they do, but we got to see how they live and what it looks like for our precious sisters and brothers to follow Jesus and to love people in the places where God has sent them. And I don't know about you, but I'm walking away from this Missions Month with a deeper gratitude, not only for their ministries, but for our partnership with them for the sake of the gospel. And I do want to mention that Alex Ham was the one who edited all these videos. He got just so many footages, and he had to kind of put those together week by week. So if you get to see him this afternoon, just thank him for his labor of love and faith for our church. This morning, we're going to conclude our four-week sermon series called Joining God's Mission, From Promise to Participation. And I want to invite you, if you have a Bible with you, to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We are asking the question, what can it look like for us as followers of Jesus to joyfully and meaningfully participate in the work of missions? If you were here several weeks ago, we said that missions is the labor of faith and love through word and deed. Through our going and our giving and our sending and our praying that invites and compels every nation and tribe and tongue to find their deepest joy and gladness and satisfaction in God Himself to the praise of His glory. So the burden for us this morning is to see that the gospel calls and compels none of us to be mere spectators in what God is doing in and around the world. Some of us are called to go, to cross borders and to go. And the rest of us are called to send and to support those who do go, and to do so in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. And on our altar Sundays, we have the privilege and honor of inviting students to help us lead in our service. So it is my great joy to welcome Lucy to come and read scripture for us. So can we give her a hand as she comes? She will be reading for us Ephesians chapter 3, 7 to 12.
Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lucy. Let's give her a hand one more time. Church family, my aim is to be very practical in my approach this morning, to put before us some realistic and tangible things, tangible ways that God can use to stretch our minds and our hearts and our hands to actively participate in the work of missions, both locally and globally. But I want to anchor all of that in our text this morning. So I'm just going to highlight very briefly three things from Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, first, we are called and compelled to participate joyfully in the work of missions because of grace. Look at verses 7 to 8 one more time. The Apostle Paul says, "Of this gospel I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul's flow of thought is that the gospel that forever changed his life and his identity and his call and his destiny was first given to him according to the gift of God's grace. Meaning, Paul didn't attain it by his intellect. He didn't attain it by his obedience or by his influence. For Paul, it was completely and utterly unmerited grace of God. And this grace that gripped Paul's heart is the same grace that compelled him to pour himself out in joyful and glad obedience for the sake of the nations, no matter the cost. And I think that is so foundational to our understanding of the gospel. For those of us, especially in this room, who are followers of Jesus, who have been walking with Jesus for a while, friends, let's remember this morning that we have been saved and redeemed and marked by the same profound grace. Meaning, before we chose grace, grace chose us. And this grace, when it grips our hearts the way that it gripped Paul, it compels us to participate joyfully and meaningfully in the work of missions. And what if we just kind of slow down just for a moment and just to simply ask God in our hearts, God, for your glory and pleasure, would you guard my heart from this grace being just ordinary? For this grace just to be just another thing, we just kind of an afterthought. But would you guard our minds and our hearts so that this grace would indeed be amazing to many of us in this room? Secondly, we are called and compelled to participate joyfully and meaningfully in the work of missions because of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look with me in verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." To preach to the Gentiles, that's the work of missions. But to preach what? It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul says, what we've been given by sheer grace and what we get to give away to the world is the unsearchable riches of Jesus, meaning what we freely receive and what we freely give is Jesus himself. But not just Jesus. He says that the riches of Christ is actually unsearchable. It means that they can never be fully described, adequately described, because they are so glorious and eternal in the most lavish sense. He's talking about its exceeding riches of Christ. It's the super duper abundance of Christ. And you can maybe even imagine as he's writing this that he's trying to grasp at words to describe this unsearchable riches of Christ. We are forced to pile on superlative upon superlative to barely scratch the surface of the inexhaustible riches of Jesus. That's what he's aiming at. And friends, that also means just when we think we've had all of Christ, just when we think that, oh, I've sort of reached the top, the unsearchable riches of Christ says there's more. There's more to his mercy. There's more to his kindness. His patience is infinite. His power none can compare. His wisdom is wide and deep as the oceans. His glory is beyond our wildest imagination. His pursuit of us ever so constant and faithful. His love for us so intimate and unchanging and selfless and certain as the life and the death and the resurrection of his beloved Son, Jesus. And the riches of Christ in Paul's mind will never run out, never go broke, never go empty, and will never, ever fail, such that they were enough for the generations that have gone before us. Thousands of years have gone before us. And the riches of Christ will never end for us, that we have all we will need and all we will ever want of the riches of Christ. And friends, and still, the riches of Christ will be sufficient for the generations to come. That's how lavish and big and wide are the riches of Jesus. Therefore, we are compelled and participate joyfully in the work of missions because of the world around us, locally and globally, is desperately in need of the unsearchable riches of Jesus, and the world is lost and dying without it. And lastly, we are called and compelled to participate joyfully in the work of missions. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Because it's through the church that the unsearchable riches of Jesus are made visible. Verses 9 to 10. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages, who created all things. Verse 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Paul says this crazy and this beautiful thing, that in God's infinite mercy and wisdom, he has chosen the church as the primary instrument by which his plan of redemption and restoration of the world is being carried forward. The unfolding plan of God is for the unsearchable riches of Christ in the gospel to be made visible and beautiful and compelling through a people redeemed and reconciled to him and to one another. This is an amazing, amazing, and humbling news. In other words, the church, which includes us, Christ Central in Centerville, Virginia in 2026, is not an afterthought in God's mission. Friends, we are his plan A, and he has no plan B. Just think about just for a moment. We get to play for varsity team. And he has no JV. Therefore, we are called and compelled to participate joyfully in the work of missions, because whether we go or send, whether we support or pray, we are participating in the very means God has chosen to make Jesus known and beautiful and compelling to the ends of the earth. Friends, do you have a high view of the church? Because it seems like to me, God does. Do you have a high view of church membership? Do you have a high view in participating in the work of missions that advances the gospel through our time, treasures, and talents? Do you have a high view of Sunday mornings? Do you have a high view of your neighbors that are sitting around you, behind you, and in front of you? Do you have a high view of the church? Because it seems like to me, God does, in his word, a high view of his bride. So, in light of all of these great encouragements we have in the gospel, so we come back to this question. What can it look like for us to participate joyfully and meaningfully in the work of missions in and around us? And again, I want to be very practical, just to help us join in on what God is doing in and around the world, something that you feel like you can participate in, like right here, right now, without feeling like you have to wait till maybe another mission trip to come around in the near future. So how do we participate? First is to pray. And now before you say, oh, I know this one. No, like pray. Pastor and author John Piper writes, God has ordained prayer to have such a crucial place in the mission of the church. Prayer is God's appointed means of bringing grace to the world and glory to himself. So a couple ways that I would invite us to pray. Pray for the 1%. I don't know if you remember this, but a couple of years ago, it's been a focus for our church to begin to pray for God to raise up 1% and to send 1% of our church family to a vocational ministry, whether to be a missionary or to be a church planter or to be in just as a pastor or as directors or just in ministry in general, for God to be so pleased to raise up 1% of our church to go into vocational ministry. Can I invite you, just in your daily rhythm and walk with Jesus, to incorporate this into your prayer life. Make it a rhythm to pray for the 1% that God will be so pleased with our church and in our church to raise up 1% to go into ministry. How about this one? For us to pray and ask God where he might ask us to go to make the unsearchable riches of Jesus beautiful and compelling. Some of us, maybe we pray, would you have me go to the nations? Would you have me go to Mexico City? Would you have me go to Cambodia? Would you have me go to Thailand? Or maybe some of us, as Pastor Bobby exhorted us a couple weeks ago, some of us can pray and maybe even make plans to go on short-term missions when the opportunity comes. Just in the way that we know how to make plans to go on vacation and block out those days and learn how to take PTO, that short-term missions would be something so beautiful and valuable enough that you would plan ahead for that. As Pastor Sam encouraged us last week, maybe for some of us, going means that we move toward the outsider. We move toward the marginalized. We move toward those who are the last, the least, and the left behind around us. Maybe for some of us, going means that we just walk across the street. We look across our desks, and we just walk to our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends who have not yet trusted in Jesus. What would going look like for you, and how can you begin to pray and ask God, where would you have me go? Or if you're anything like me and prayer does not come naturally, prayer is hard. If you're like me, praying with others is a beautiful and helpful thing. I know our Wednesday night prayer team meets every Wednesday to pray and to seek God's kingdom and his face, not only for individuals, but for the church and for the nations. And I know this Wednesday, they're going to gather together to pray for our Muslim neighbors. If you have a hard time praying, you don't know how to really engage, would you come and join that prayer meeting so that you can just sense how to pray for the nations, so that God would expand our hearts to pray for the nations. As you heard this morning, our Bridges Ministry is hosting a praise and prayer night for young adults. And we have a specific portion of that time where we're going to pray for our missionaries and pray for the nations. Would you plan to join us for that? Or here's another way you can pray is to pray in your CGs or in your journey groups. There's a QR code on the screen, and this QR code will take you to the list of all the missionaries that we support. Make it a rhythm in your community groups and in your journey groups to pray through our missionaries every time you meet. So friends, pray. Pray alone, pray together, but pray. Secondly, is to extend an invitation. Another very practical way we can participate in God's mission together is by intentionally and prayerfully inviting others to encounter Jesus with us. You know, beginning next week, we're going to be walking through the Gospel of Mark. This is a sermon series designed to present the person and work of Jesus clearly and compellingly, especially for those who are seeking and who are skeptical and who are unchurched and dechurched. And we are trusting God to use this season to bring about new faith and to renew old faith and deeper commitment in the hearts of his people. But accompanying this sermon series, our young adult ministry is hosting what we're calling it, Come and See, a conversation series for the curious, skeptical, and the searching. And our aim is to create an intimate space for our young adults to have an honest conversation and thoughtful engagement around life and faith. But here's the big idea. It's for us to consider how God might use our invitation, our prayer and our courage and our love and our willingness to go across the street to draw someone closer to Jesus and to make his grace known throughout the church, through our church. So pray, but also go across the room, go across the street, go across your cubicles and invite others to seek Jesus with us. Church family, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a minute. And I just want us to be in awe and wonder that God has chosen to make the unsearchable riches of Christ visible through the church. Again, to be reminded that we are his plan A. And that, and not only that he doesn't have a plan B, he doesn't need a plan B. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, let's be reminded once again that our entire lives begins and ends with grace. The same Christ whose unsearchable riches we proclaim is the Christ who gave up his body and who shed his blood for us. And it is through a redeemed people, through the church, that God continues to make his gospel known to the world. Some of us are called, and all of us are called to send and to pray and to give and to invite and to bear witness to the beauty of the gospel. And we do that as recipients of and as a response to the grace that we have received. So as we come to the table, may this table remind us who we are and whose we are and why we are sent and why we go until the day when faith becomes sight and the nations are made glad in him. Let's pray together. Father, we stand in awe and in just humbled that you will call us your plan A, that you will call us your beautiful bride, and you have entrusted us with a beautiful message of the unsearchable riches of Jesus. Would you teach us moment by moment, day by day, week by week, and year by year to learn how to faithfully steward the gift of grace that you have given to each and every one of us. And as we come to the table, would you make us come alive to the grace that once saved us and the grace that compels us to go. We commit this time to you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Beloved church,